once was a spirit, who knew it was the light among the other spirits, whose lights were just as bright. But this spirit longed to experience what it would be like to be the light, to be the light. But the spirit went to God and asked, how can I really know when all there is light and love? Everywhere I go, there is brightness all around me, and every spirit shines. I want to go where I can show this little light of mine. Rise, little spirit, you'll come back to where you came from, and know that you've done well, and your Father is well pleased. So as you call upon the night, I will always be with you. You are the light. Now, in order for this all to work, God caused it to forget who it was and why it came. But in its heart it left divine intuition that was sure to show the way back to the light through the darkest night, to make it home someday. Rise, little spirit, rise, little spirit, you'll go back to where you came from, and know that you've done well, and your mother is well pleased. So as you call upon the night, I will always be with you. You are the light. Now the night came and the darkness fell, and it was all the soul could see. And it cried out loud, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then suddenly, from within, all became bright. And finally it realized and shouted, I am the light, I am the light. Rise, little spirit, rise, little spirit. Come back to where you came from, and know that you've done well, and your Father is well pleased.
So we prepare, and over four Sundays we really take time to prepare, inner and outer. I think outer, there's a lot of signs of Christmas up everywhere. Here, grocery stores are playing Christmas carols now. You probably heard that. Decorations, all kinds of things. We buy and wrap gifts. There was a tree trimming party at, at the retirement community that I work at, and on Friday, and talk about decorations and the Christmas spirit. There was a lot of that. They had chairs out in the lobby for the residents, and it was a tree trimming party. Mm-hmm. So there was this big tree, you know, like this taller though, and residents could put a tree, an ornament on the tree. And then there was a gentleman playing the piano and singing Christmas carols, and people were, I mean, there was, it was really, really pretty fun. There is a song that says, it's the happiest time of the year. Not for everybody, though. For many people, this is a really challenging time, the whole holiday season, because it just seems to accentuate the hole that you might be feeling, or accentuates that realization, I don't feel like celebrating. It's not always a happy time. A lot of things can bring this on. Loss of a job, a loved one, a friendship, change. Change can really sort things out. I think the first year that I was in Texas, kind of by myself, of course I came up, but the whole season seemed off a little bit because it was different. It wasn't where I normally was. Illness, COVID is going around again at work, and some of us have had it. And when you're not feeling well, it's just really hard to feel like celebrating. Loneliness is another one. All of those things can keep us from celebrating anything. Now, when I was thinking about this talk, and I think normally what I do is I go to the scripture, and to me, Mary epitomizes faith. She just, be with me, do with me as you will, or have it with me as you will. Her faith that everything was going to be okay. But this season didn't seem to be that kind of a talk, you know? There's a lot going on in our world, that is just really heavy, hard to deal with. We have wars going on, discord, hate, fear. There is such polarization, you know, and just such division. It's like we look at each other now and certain words can trigger, I don't even want to see you, you know. It's that kind of time, and I think that what I came to was, I see a lot of bitterness, I see a lot of cynics right now. People are just sort of not in a good place. Cynicism, hate, intolerance, all of those things. So for me, the question today is how to access our hope and faith in spite of all of this. Does anybody get, used to be Chris Chenoweth, he's passed on, but he had started this positivechristianity.net. It's emails, anybody get those? That's kind of good because I'm going to go over one. The one from yesterday, Saturday, I think just really awakened me to the awareness that sometimes our faith gets dim. You know, we get kind of. And it is possible then that hope is a partner to faith to help boost faith back up again by finding those things that are positive, the optimist kind of thing. The story, some of the inspiration things that get written in this daily email, some of them are stories, and that was the case for this one. And the story is titled, Christmas Thorns Bouquet. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a fairly long story, but I want to tell you the highlights of what the story is about. I don't know about you, but when I read some of these things, sometimes I just kind of skim through it and go on, but for some reason this one hit me sort of hard, so I'm sharing it with you. I hope it means something to you too. The story centers around a woman named Sandra, and she goes into a florist shop for an arrangement for Christmas. She's not feeling the season. She's grieving, as a matter of fact. She had had a car accident 5 months before. Wasn't even that significant an accident, but because of her seatbelt and being 4 months pregnant, the accident caused her to lose her child, or the baby. And Christmas week was the week that the boy, she was going to have a son, would have been born. So she was really kind of down. She went in. There was a clerk there who was very friendly, and she asked if she could help her. And she said, "Well, I'm looking for an arrangement for Christmas." And the clerk was real helpful and said, "Okay." She said, I'd like to know a little bit more about what you're interested in. For example, are you wanting an arrangement that would reflect your gratitude for Christmas?" And she said, "Not exactly. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong." Have you ever felt like that? I mean, like one thing will happen, and then there'll be another thing that happens, and pretty soon you're so bogged down, you can't even imagine how things could ever look good again. Most of us have, I think, in the darker times of our lives. She was surprised when the shop clerk said, "I have the perfect arrangement for you." And just then, the bell on the door of the florist shop jingled, and a woman came in, and she said, "I'm here to pick up my arrangement." And the clerk said, "Oh, Barbara, hi, I've got it ready for you." And she goes into the back, and she gets this arrangement, and it is like a bouquet, if you will. It's got the bows and the greenery. And there were 12 long-stemmed stems. There were no flowers. The flowers had been, roses had been cut off. Sandra was very puzzled at this. First, she thought that it was a joke, but nobody was laughing. And the woman paid, and she left, and Sandra said, "That lady just left with, she just left with no flowers." And the clerk says, "Right, I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Christmas thorns bouquet." Sandra is like, "Come on, you can't tell me somebody's willing to pay you for that." The clerk filled her in. She said, "Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago feeling very much like you feel today," explained the clerk. "She thought she had very little to be joyful about. She'd lost her father to cancer, the family business was failing, her son was into drugs, and she was facing major surgery. Quite a list. That same year, I lost my husband," continued the clerk, "and for the first time in my life, I had to spend the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel." So Sandra said, "Well, what'd you do?" The clerk said, "I learned to be grateful. I learned to be thankful for thorns." She said, "I've always thanked God for good things in life and never thought to ask God why those good things happened to me. But when bad stuff hit, did I ever ask?" Mm-hmm. Ever felt like when bad things happen, it's like, "Why me? Why is this all happening to me?" "It took time for me to learn that dark times are important. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from God's consolation we learn to comfort others." And Sandra thought about it. She said, "Well," she said, I guess the truth is I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby and I'm angry with God." Pretty common. And just about that time, the door opens again. And another guy comes in. His name is Phil. He said, I've come in to pick up an arrangement that my wife wants. And it was the Christmas special. And again, the clerk goes back and gets Brent, comes out with the arrangement with the flower or the bows and the greenery and the stems and thorns and no flowers. So Sandra said, those are for your wife? Do you mind me asking why she wants something that looks like that? He said, no, I'm glad you asked. And as it turns out, I forgot how many, about four years ago, he and his wife were really having marital difficulties. They were really, really struggling. He says, but with God's grace and guidance, we slogged through problem after problem. He, God, rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me that she kept a vase of rose stems to remind us of what we learned from thorny times. And that was good enough for me. He took some of those stems, I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks to God for what that problem taught us. And he said, I highly recommend the special. Now, I remember in a very dark time of my life when guidance that I got was look for the blessings. It was a time when I thought, how can one possibly find any blessings in this? But I held it and began to look. And I did have a shift, and I did begin to find things. And more things began to appear. It just changes your way of looking at things. So I really admired this whole notion of the thorns and looking at them. And what can I be thankful for in this thorn? The clerk said, in my experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's care more during trouble than at any other time. And that's really true too. And then Sandra she gets it, and she tears are rolling down her face, and she said, I'd like a Christmas special. When she started to pay, the clerk said, no, the first year is on me. And all I ask, all I ask is a promise to allow God to heal your heart this Christmas. That willingness to do it differently, I think, was what stood out for me. And it synced with my own experience so closely. And then I was looking for resources, and I looked at the Daily Word just before December started. So this is November and December, and just before December, there's an article written by Reverend Bronte Colbert. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right, but a shorter version of what's written in here is that she, in 2020, was having a hard time. Think about 2020, what was going on at Christmas. COVID, absolutely. So she writes, you know, how discouraged she was. She was by herself and enforced, you know. We couldn't go be with anybody. And so there she was. She said, my tree was full, but I felt empty. Mm-hmm. 10 months of restriction had left me isolated and worried. And then being a Unity minister, there's a paragraph that starts, it says, I teach that when I change the way I look at things, they get better. Mm-hmm. Does that remind you of Sandra? When I'm feeling low, I can use my tools. We all have these tools. Meditation, prayer, a gratitude list, affirmations, and spiritual readings. These are things that we can utilize when we find ourselves in one of these dark places. She said that there was a Daily Word message that she had read, which read in part, when my plans go awry, I can demonstrate the faith to follow an unfamiliar route. The peace to trust the divine within me and the love to know I am never alone. So those are the things that she mentioned, which is very similar to what we're going to read in Daily, or what we read in Daily Word. But she said that for her, the words, and follow an unfamiliar route. Has anybody ever done something differently during holidays after some major thing? I know I have. We've changed the family gatherings so that it could be a little easier. The same kind of thing happened for her. She had a memory of 20 years before when the normal thing that they did was she picked up her daughter and then they together drove to her parents' house and they enjoyed driving through subdivision and looking at Christmas houses with Christmas lights. But one year, this particular year, the daughter said, turn just up ahead, and then go left there, and ended up taking them. This minister was like, what are we doing? But they got there, and there were no Christmas lights. It was, she called it, soon we were driving into a complex of mostly darkened buildings, the sprawling Milwaukee County General Hospital. The daughter said, go ahead and park. And she said, you like to pray for others, she told me. Here's a good spot. Standing in the deserted back lot, boots in the crunchy snow, mittened hands outstretched toward the walls of windows, we sent blessings to patients and their families, medical staff, other workers, and volunteers. No one seemed to notice us. No cars drove by. As I stood there in the cold night air, I felt deeply connected to everyone inside. So then that brought the minister back to the current time, and because of that memory, then she got on her sweater, a sparkly Christmas sweater and a Christmas hat, and she drove to each of the two hospitals in where she lives, Georgia, I think. Athens, Georgia, yes. To each one and did the same thing. You know, blessed them and prayed for the people inside. She talks about whether they felt anything or not. You know, it's hard to say. But what it did, more importantly, what did it do for her? She said she no longer felt as sad and lonely. Sharing the love of God within reminded me I'm never alone. And then skipping to the very last paragraph of the article, she says, not all Christmas gifts come wrapped and topped with a bow. Some come in the guise of more unpleasant challenges. And sometimes the greatest gift we can receive is realizing the gifts we have to give. Essentially the same message as Sandra's story. And then I look at our daily word that we had today. All of this, my hope leads me to deepen in faith. The middle paragraph, she says, over the year, Sarah already read this, I may have hoped for lasting peace, greater love, or abiding joy. But as I have grown spiritually, I have learned to look for those things within, to claim them as aspects of my divine identity. Once I do that, I will begin to see them manifest in my life. Faith is how I begin to bring my hopes to life. Like other divine gifts, I always have faith. It's up to me to decide how to use it. So very true. When I choose to believe that peace will blanket the earth, love will heal our hearts, and joy will bring harmony to the world's people, when I choose to believe these things, I am using the power of my faith to bring those visions to vivid life. This is what we're here to be and to do. And this is Advent season, and we may or may not be feeling especially celebratory, but if we're not, there are some things that we can do to put ourselves in that place. We remember that we are never alone. We teach and preach here, God and I are one. We're never alone. We can turn to our inner divinity, our divine identity. We can transform our challenging experiences into opportunities to give of our inner Christ. So we affirm again, my hope leads me to deepen in faith. And would you say that with me? My hope leads me to deepen in faith. God bless. Let's use the words that Jesus taught us to prepare us for meditation. So if you would join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So let's just breathe into this moment. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your outer eyes gently. And let your mind and your body relax. We put aside all of our emotions. We put aside all of the worries, the busyness from before and what is coming. And we just come into this moment, this present moment. When we are able to do this, for a moment, for the time that we do this, we are able to be at one, to be aligned with that divine identity, to be open and receptive, just to be almost listening for that inner voice, that inner Christ self. And we take away whatever we want and need in the moment. If we are having a wonderful season and happy and joyful and excited about all that's coming, we are present with all of that beauty and joy and love. If we have been struggling, like some of the story characters that we've heard about today, if that's where we are, for this moment, we are able to be here, safe, in the presence of friends, church family. We can find perhaps the comfort, the nourishment, and strength. And hope. I almost feel it or have a sense of it being like a little candle flame is before you. That little hope that is there, flickering, burning. And as we put our attention on hope, that flame expands and grows, and then it reignites the faith that is part of us, one of our aspects, and allows our faith to resume its stature, its presence. To grow that faith so that we know that when we lean into Spirit, all is well, regardless of what's happening outside ourselves. All is well. We are created in the image and likeness of Source, of God. which doesn't mean what we look like, it means what we are. We are peace. We are joy. We are faith. We are love. And so this morning we allow ourselves to just relish this awareness, sit in it, soak it up, let it become an integrated part of us so that we can leave with it and it stays with us. So as we do each week, let's sit in silence for a few moments in love, in peace, in joy, in hope, and in faith, in the silence. We do give thanks. We give thanks for the roses, and we give thanks for the thorns. We give thanks for the thorns because they allow opportunities for us to grow and deepen spiritually. We are grateful for all and our many, many blessings. We come back into the sanctuary, into this time, full of love, full of hope, and full of faith. Thank you, God. Amen.
I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. too, but my cup is overflowing. Wow, 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 wow. Ernie, I needed that song too. And my, and when I was in ministerial school, the minister who was there at that Unity of Naples was in the front row, so I got to see Diane Scribner-Clevenger, and that was really exciting for me. And your message was transforming. I had tears, and it really touched me, and it was just what I needed, and I hope we were all blessed by it, because it was amazing. Thank you. Okay, now I got everything up here I need to say, I hope. First of all, we have to do our offering, because I see our ushers are ready to go there. So, will you join me as we say our offering blessing together? Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, God. Okay, now I get to do my announcements. First of all, I want to thank, who did all this beautiful decor?
We all did.
We all did. Well, I did. But for those of you who did, I was so excited when I saw the doors had the wreaths on them, and then I came in, so thank you all for doing that. That was a gift for all of us. Also, I want to do our affirmations. Fernanda always does these, and I forget to do those, and Wayne said to me, are you going to do those? And I said, okay, so let's do them. They're on your green sheet, and let's affirm together. In every matter, I am guided by infinite intelligence. Together?
In every matter, I am guided by infinite intelligence.
And then turn around and look at someone and say to them, in every matter, you are guided by infinite intelligence. And then let's say it together as a community. Together? In every matter, we are guided by infinite intelligence. Okay, and I want to also bring to your attention these booklets that are out there. This starts today. This is a saying for every day of Advent, so they're available out there. They're just $1, and they'll last you through all of Christmas. And I read all those stories today, and I read all that in the Daily Word. Yeah. So there's so many, these things are such a blessing. So consider getting one of those and have that be your companion for the Christmas season. Also, I want to remind you that, let me look up my other little note here. Okay. I think I said everything I wrote extra. I want to remind you that this is a special time of the year when people think about doing some year-end giving and making contributions. So we would like to encourage you, if you're going to be doing that, to think about maybe making an extra special tax-deductible gift to Unity Church of Light. And that's in your bulletin there. Next Sunday is an exciting Sunday. We've got a lot going on. We're going to be installing our new member, which is Marion. We're so excited. Marion's a new member. And we're also going to be dedicating our prayer chaplains, so you don't want to miss next Sunday, because that's always a special day when we dedicate our prayer chaplains. We're so grateful for them. And next Sunday, too, after church, we have a Unity 101 class. So it's a busy day. You can just plan your whole day to be here. No, you get to go home after class. And the other announcements are in there, but keep in mind that we're having a bake sale, though, on the 17th. It's a fundraiser for the church. And you know how we love, everybody loves bakery goods. So, you know, think about buying your gifts here on the 17th for that. Several of our, I found out who it's Liz and Elizabeth and Judy, I believe, are all going to, is anybody else bringing things? Yeah, I said Elizabeth. Liz and Elizabeth and Judy. Those are the three I know about. Okay, we're going to have lots of baked goods. Okay, the rest of the things, as I say, are in there. So I think that's all the announcements, unless I missed something that was important, because I could have. Okay. All right. So, we didn't bless our offering. Sorry. I'm not. I'm not. Let's try. We have another prosperity blessing after we collect our offering. And I don't know this one, so I'll try to come out here and see. Okay, together. Together, in a consciousness of divine love, we receive as we give abundantly, magnifying these gifts and pouring them out in service. We celebrate prosperity, and so it is. Amen. Okay, and now one of my favorite things, we gather around the outside and we get to ask for prayers and we get to give our celebrations of answered prayers.